Hey, welcome everybody. This is Table Talk, your healthy theological radio addiction. My name's Brent Kuhlman. Adam Aline's here. Clint Poppy's here. Gentlemen, good to be with you.
It is a good day, yeah. I keep
Guten Tag.
Every time my wife and I go on a date, that song that we just heard comes on the radio now. So,
well, it's like when you buy a car. Once you buy a car, then you see that model everywhere.
For sale, right?
Yeah, well, people driving it, yeah. That's just how it works.
And behind the tow truck.
We're coming on the heels of beginning Lent, Ash Wednesday, and the first Sunday in Lent. And it's a great time in the church here because these 40 days of Lent, taking us to our Lord's resurrection from the dead, really get to the heart of the matter. And it's repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, who suffers and dies and rises for our salvation.
Amen.
We'll pick up on that theme even more when we speak more of Antichrist, and we identify really specifically what the Lutheran Church teaches about who fulfills this 2 Thessalonians 2 thing with the man of sin or the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, which we've been talking about. I want to pick up one loose thread here, and then we can move on a little bit more. We were all speaking last time, about how the 2 Thessalonian teaching about the Antichrist was already happening, not only in the Apostles' day, but even in Christ's ministry. We identified Peter as Antichrist in Matthew 16, when Jesus said to him, "Get behind me, Satan." Now, there's also no reason why we're saying this is because Paul says in 2 Thessalonians that the Antichrist takes his seat in the temple of God. This takes place in the church, not the European common market. Another example of what I'm trying to teach here is, you remember there's another apostle that Satan uses to be Antichrist. You know where I'm going with this, don't you?
I'm going to guess you're going to say Judas Iscariot.
Exactly. Remember that it was Satan that entered into Judas Iscariot, and he then betrayed our Lord Jesus Christ, handing him over. See, this too is Antichrist. Point being, again, it takes place in the church, and it is in league with Satan himself, as Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2. Now, let's move to 1 John, shall we? Because John speaks of Antichrist there as well. Now, Clint, you made a distinction while we were getting ready to record. Antichrist, capital A, and Antichrist, small a, right?
Correct.
Would you say that what we're going to look at now in 1 John would be Antichrist or Antichrist, small a?
Small a.
Okay.
And, you know, I think it's probably worth stating, too, when people start to hear a discussion of Antichrist, many times they have a caricature in their mind. They think of you know, the devil and the pitchfork and the horns and the red outfit and the pointy tail, and they think that this is cartoonish or myth or made up, and that they're, you know, it's in the same league as Puff the Magic Dragon or sparkling unicorns or whatever. And I think it's hard for people to take seriously this talk of Antichrist because of so much stuff that has been out there, good, bad, and really bad. And so I think that's why this discussion is so helpful, because God's Word speaks clearly to this topic. It's not a myth. It's not a fairy tale. It's not made up. And there is Antichrist, capital A, 2 Thessalonians 2. And then in the broader sense, if you want to say small a Antichrist, anyone or anything that is against Christ falls into this broader category. And I think that's some of the things that we talked about last week with regard to Peter and Judas, these kind of things.
Yeah, the false teachers
Any false teacher, and specifically any false teacher that denies justification by grace through faith on account of the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, before we read the 1 John 2 text, I'll remind our listeners that, remember, in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, there were the false apostles, and Paul speaks of them as Satan parading around as an angel of light. So part of the reality of Antichrist in league with Satan is that these people appear to be the most wholesome, the most pious, the most spiritual people that the world has ever seen. So if all you were doing was looking at these people with your eyes, purple clerical shirt, big pectoral cross, et cetera, walking, you know, upright and stately with dignity, and you just look at these people humanly and you think, man of God, woman of God, but you have to listen to what they say. And this is part of the deception. These are part of the signs and wonders. See, part of the signs and wonders is purple clerical shirt, pectoral cross, chasuble. You know what I'm trying to say here? I'm not against those things, but these are the signs and wonders that deceive these people who think, well, purple shirt, this person's got to be, you know, a man of God or a woman of God, when really they're not. They're Antichrist.
It's almost like we should listen to what they say rather than judge them based on their appearances. Make sure that what they say matches what God's word says.
That's why John says in his epistle, test the spirits.
Right.
You have to test them. And the way you test them is Jesus says you will know them by their fruit. What do they say? And then what they say, what does that lead to their actions? Do their actions match the word of God? You will know them by their fruit. Well, I can't help myself. I'm going to say it anyway. So we have Antichrist alive and well in the church all over the place. Capital A, Antichrist. When you have bishops in the church who advocate homosexual marriage, who advocate abortion, who advocate transgenderism, etc. You just fill in the blank. That's just starters. But they also at the same time also deny justification by faith alone, you see. That always goes. Why do they have all these other errors? Because they deny justification by faith alone.
It strikes me in that regard, and this has just been my thoughts here lately, last few weeks, the way that Satan takes all these good gifts of the church and corrupts them. He takes the people who are dressed as pastors and he corrupts them, something that looks like pastors and yet is not because of their word being wrong. Takes things like chasubles, which can be beneficial to worship, and twists them by making them the main thing in the worship service. We just had Ash Wednesday, and I don't know if you saw the news about the glitter ashes that are popular now, where instead of ashes from palm branches burned, now we put glitter in there so that it celebrates LGBTQ identity. And so we've taken this kind of small once a year practice in the church and corrupted it to fit Satan again. And that happens with all sorts of these things that are related to Antichrist.
I'll remind everyone again of what's been in the news here lately in Finland, when you have a member of parliament and a woman who actually, a Finnish woman, who actually sat on one of the something of the interior of the Finnish government, who is being investigated, as well as another Lutheran Finnish pastor, for just simply pushing a book that teaches the Word of God on sexuality, namely male, female, and heterosexual marriage, and they're being investigated for crimes, you see. And this is Antichrist, because the state is in league with the church here, the Finnish church. It's the church who's saying, go after these people, state, and put them in jail.
God gives the gift of marriage, and Satan twists it from one man and one woman to anybody who loves each other.
Yeah,
and that's what happens. Antichrist changes things.
1 John 2, children, it's the last hour, John says. This is 2 verse 18, 1 John. It's the last hour, so the last days are already here. And as you know, as you've heard, that Antichrist is coming. Wonder 2 Thessalonians? Yeah, I think so. So now many antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us. So where'd they start?
The church.
See, all this fits with Paul, doesn't it?
And this cannot be emphasized too much, Pastor, because everybody wants to think about this outside of the church. They want to think about this in the political realm. They want to think about this as some world power, maybe it's the coronavirus that's Antichrist. Maybe it's, something going on with Russia or China or whatever, the White House, the Kremlin, and God's word is clear. Antichrist springs from the church. This is a doctrinal issue.
They went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would have been. They would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they are all not of us. One has to think of what we've talked about in previous episodes with the United Methodist Church, and they're going to split. Well, this is part of, I think we're seeing this, aren't we? Antichrist versus those who confess Jesus as Savior of sinners. But then we get even more, verse 22, check this out. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. So when you deny Jesus, that he is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, you are Antichrist. Now this can be done very crassly, but it can also be done in a very refined way. So the crass denial of Jesus, the crass rejection of Jesus, is what you always get in Time magazine and all the television shows, you know, the History Channel, etc. Right about this time in the church, or around Lent and Easter, when they always ask the question, who is Jesus? And then they talk to all these Bible scholars and seminary professors all over the world, and the answers given are, Adam knows this, he's laughing, what are the answers?
Well, yeah, just a nice teacher that's misunderstood. Elton John's my favorite one. A couple years ago he said, Jesus was just a misunderstood gay man, which I don't even know where you get that from anywhere in Scripture, but all these places, you know, did he die? The tomb, the Talpoiot tombs in Jerusalem, you know, where they found a bone box that they think is from Jesus, et cetera, et cetera. Which none of the archaeology or evidence supports, but you take a little tiny thing and twist it and warp it, and yeah, this is History Channel and Discovery Channel all this time during Lent and during Easter.
It's Albert Schweitzer's The Quest for the Historical Jesus, that book, if you're familiar with that, on yes. Steroids. Hey, by the way, folks, if you're interested, you know, if you can't sleep at night, got insomnia, and you want to be able to fall asleep at night, buy the book by Albert Schweitzer, The Quest for the Historical Jesus. And it'll put you to sleep as soon as you can say, Bob's your uncle. Now, if your insomnia persists and you continue to read, you will understand what we're talking about. Namely, Schweitzer said, based upon all of his investigation with the biblical experts, is that Jesus, he just was just a nice guy, good guy, he was well-intended, well-meaning, but is he the Christ? Is he the Son of God? Of course not. Surely not. So he really never died on the cross. He passed out. He swooned. And then his apostles, they took him down, put him in a nice cold cave, a tomb, and he revived. And then they perpetrated the lie that he rose from the dead. This is the crass denial that Jesus is the Christ. That's easy to spot. Okay? Now, what's the refined way of denying that Jesus is the Christ?
Jesus said, love wins. Jesus said...
okay, so yeah. Say more. You're but right. Yeah, like, say more.
You know, the Rob church, the church in their wins. Time, they were anti-homosexuality, and Jesus really taught that love wins, and so you should just love everybody no matter who they are. Jesus says there's no such thing as sin because I've died for it all, and so you're free to do whatever the heck you want to do when you want to. I mean, we could go down all these little rabbit chases. There's lots and lots of these ways.
And I want to say more about this when we come back from the break, so hang on tight, folks.